Enoch walked with God and was no more. Is that right? He was translated in the Lord. And he said, yeah. I said, what part fell off? I mean, here's Enoch. He was so perfect in the Lord and believed and had so much faith in God that God said, okay, I'm going to translate you. And when he was in the process of translating, did he lose an arm or a leg? Maybe an eyeball fell out. And in fact, would you agree with me that maybe when God translated Enoch, he was in better shape when he got there than when he left?
Amen.
How about Elijah? Do you think that when Elijah was in that whirlwind in the process of being translated that he lost the rest of his hair, or maybe his nose fell off?
No.
No, I'd say he was when he was translated, he was better than when he started. Amen? All right. Now, we have a lot of Bibles out here today. You got a lot of Bibles to choose from. But you know, it's interesting. Of all the Bibles written, the King James is the only one that's written from the Textus Receptus. And it's the Textus Receptus that were the scrolls that came from Antioch. They were the scrolls that Paul used.
Amen.
And when God had the King James, moved on King James to write that Bible, he had a reason for it. And I believe God moved on those translators, whether they were good or not, what's it to me? I mean, God has even made me say some good things. He moved on them to put that book together exactly the way he did it.
Amen.
And since Darwin, all the other translations that have come out to try to discredit God's word and take away the power. You ought to sit down with some of these translations and compare them word to word. You'd be amazed. You know you won't find the Trinity mentioned in the NIV? Did you know that? In the King James, in 1 John chapter 5, it says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. They've taken it out of the NIV. It's not there. There's a lot of things you won't find in the NIV. A lot of things. And what's worse is some of the notes that you read. We were starting on Mark 16 earlier. Thought I'd never get back to it, didn't you? Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins. And then he goes, he that believeth and is baptized, believeth what? The gospel. Shall be saved. He that disbelieveth what? The gospel shall be damned. Now watch this next part because it's very important. It starts with a conjunction. Everybody knows what a conjunction is, right? They heard the song, Conjunction Junction. If it hadn't been for Sesame Street, my false teeth don't want to work. If it hadn't have been for Sesame Street, I would have never learned what a conjunction was. All right. It adds one thing to another. So the next verse starts, and. And. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now I've said all this to bring it back around. Remember when I talked earlier about nobody likes to be corrected? Nobody likes to be shown they're wrong? I know I don't. Do you? I don't. How do you know you're a Christian? How do you know? That's a good point. Good question, isn't it? How do you know you're a Christian? Well, it's because I believe in Jesus. How do you know? How do you know you believe in Jesus? Wow. It's quiet in here. I might make a step on some toes here in a second. I'll tell you how you'll know. The next part of the verse. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. That doesn't mean go and learn psychology.
Amen.
I said to a psychologist, I had a revival one time in Maryland, and this psychologist's wife was sponsoring it, and he hated God. He hated the Lord. And he had a drug rehabilitation thing, and he took all of his inmates, 40, 45 of them, and brought them to this meeting to show his wife what a crazy idiot I was and how there was nothing to the name of God. What he didn't realize is that it was his undoing. God delivered every single one of them.
Amen.
Every single one was delivered, and the man was put out of business. And I learned a very important lesson then. Even though every one of those people were delivered, they were brought off of drugs and alcohol, and to my knowledge, never did go back on it. Every one of them. The man still was more convinced than ever that he hated God. His pride would not let him confess that he was wrong. Now, what I'm going to say is going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. But Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick who will recover. That is not open to interpretation. People say, well, you gotta turn. No, you don't. You read it. If I take a gun and point it to your head and say, well, pull the trigger and blow your brains out, how are you going to interpret that? I ain't going to stand around and interpret. I'm going to be praying and running at the same time. And if an idiot sits there, well, let me see now, what do you think he means by that? You know, God can't mean that he's really going to do it. Christians wonder why they get killed. Why they get sick. Somebody said to me, anybody got a lighter in here? Anybody got a lighter? Thank you. This is a trick lighter? Yeah, take that thing. You got a lighter back there. Here we go. Man's got a real lighter. All right. I'm going to hold this lighter up. And I'm going to ask a question and see if you can raise your hand if you can answer yes. Do you believe that you can light this lighter? Anybody in here thinks he can light this lighter, please raise your hand. Huh? You can light it? Okay. He can light it? You can light it? You can light it? All right. Show me. Huh? Come on. I'm waiting. I want to see the lighter lit. Do you know what? I have just... That was dirty, wasn't it? Scott's sitting back... Yeah. Scott's sitting back there with his look. That was a dirty trick, wasn't it, Gail? Put that lighter in my pocket. Okay, show me. But you see, look how easy we are tricked with our pride into not listening. Huh? Into not listening. I said, could you light the lighter? You said, yeah. Well, how can you light it? It's not in your hand. Huh? All right, now watch. Amen. I lit it. Here, you raised your hand. Let me give it to you. Can you light it? Yeah. Can Scott? No, stay there, Scott. You better covet that. When you find out what it is, you'll wish you never gave it up. Can you light it? Yes. Can Scott? No. Can I?
No.
No. All right. Now give it to Scott.
Wait a minute. You told me I didn't want to give it up.
Okay, Scott's got the lighter. He's happy. Light the lighter, Scott. Okay. Don't burn up all his fuel. You can turn it off now. But I'm so happy to light the lighter. All right. You can light the lighter, but she can't. And neither can I. Right? What about just... Anybody know? Jesus said, all power in heaven and in earth is delivered unto me by my Father, which is in heaven. And then, at the resurrection, he turned around and gave it to the church.
Amen.
Huh? So when I held the lighter, I was as the Father. When I handed the lighter to her, she was as Jesus. When she handed the lighter to him, he was as the church. God needs you to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to raise the dead. Why? Because God is not strong enough for anything? No, because God chose. He chose to include you in His plan.
Amen.
He loves you so much. And He loves you so much. He wants to share Himself with you.
Amen.
It's beautiful. You know, people have come to me and said, well, if God is so great, why does He allow sickness? I told them, He doesn't. You do. This isn't fun to hear for the first time. If you love God and you want to serve God and you're sincere about it, what I'm saying to you is not fun. But it's needful. Somebody's got to tell you. The sick and dying out here, the diseased, the demon-possessed are that way, and it's your fault. If you're a Christian and you haven't learned your identity in Jesus Christ. Because who's going to heal them? If God's body doesn't. I mean, it's a very simple thing. Forgive my grossness, but if I say to you, if I have to go to the bathroom, let me give you a funny little scenario. My head speaks to my feet. Well, actually, my body talks to my head and says, oh, head, we love you, but we got to go to the little boy's room. My head turns around, feet, I command you to take the body to the boy's room. And the feet turn around and say, oh, Lord, we love you. You are our God and our head, and we think you're great. And we want to serve you most righteously. But we don't believe we can do it, O head. So if it be thy will, do it for us. You know what? The body's going to sit there in a mess. And it ain't the head's fault. It ain't the head's fault. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, which is His body.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ said, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
And if the church isn't believing, who's going to do the signs?
No one.
Now, see, somebody might think, now he said earlier, you've got to have two scriptures to confirm it now. And I did. Let's look at another scripture over in what? John 14. John 14, verse 12. Where Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he will do also. Yea, far greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father.
Amen.
Now I want you to just look at that. It's very simple, it's very plain, and it simply says this. If you believe in and on Jesus, in other words, what does it believe to mean to believe on him? It means simply to believe him. That's all it means. It simply means to believe him. If you believe Jesus, then you will do the same works that he did and even greater.
Amen.
Now that's not taught in many churches today. If anything, the opposite. Oh, what makes you think you could do greater than Jesus? Well, Paul did.
Amen.
Peter did.
Amen.
I read my Bible. When Jesus prayed for the sick, he did a word. He said a word, laid a hand on, touched them, or both. Amen.
Amen.
Paul, Peter just walked down a street. And whoever his shadow touched, they were healed and delivered.
Amen.
He arrived to open his tater trap. Just walked down a street. I've seen that happen. I've walked in the hospital rooms and people got up healed just like that without ever opening my mouth. Without ever opening my mouth. Does that make me good? No. It makes Jesus great.
Amen.
In fact, when it was your grandmother, I walked in his grandmother's hospital room. She was in a coma. And just walked in the room, and she come up out of that bed, healed, completely delivered. And she said, "Where'd he go?" And the nurse said, "What are you talking about?" Ricky said, "What are you talking about, Grandma?" When he walked in, Jesus came in with him and touched me, and I'm healed. You want to know why people don't believe in Jesus Christ today? They got you and me for an example. But if they had a few Peters running around out there and a few Pauls running around out there, what do you think they'd be doing? Amen. See, Scott, 7 years ago, I told Scott, "You're going to be a member of this ministry." He laughed at me, thought I was a fool. I said, "Yeah, you're going to be a member of this ministry." And I said, "I'll tell you, Scott, when I say a thing, it comes to pass." He said, "I'll never be a member of your ministry." I said, "Don't ever say never, son. Now I know you will." "God, are you a member of this ministry?" See? Jesus said this. If you are following him, and I'm paraphrasing greatly, if you're following him and believing on him and doing his will, then whatsoever things you say shall be done. I walked into a Georgia, went into a town in Georgia, and prophesied over the police force and over the town council that was corrupted into drugs in the name of Jesus Christ, and I stuck around and waited and got to see the whole thing collapse and fall. I didn't have to take a big army with me or a militia. I just stood up against them and prophesied in the name of Jesus, and it fell.
Amen.
You can do the same thing. I am no better than you.
Amen.
Jesus is better than you.
Amen.
Jesus is better than me.
Amen.
Does somebody begin to see what I'm talking about here? So, somebody might go home and the devil's going to jump on you and say, "He said you're not saved." Well, let's say you're not unsaved. You see, let's just say the salvation process isn't finished. Amen?
Amen.
It's just not finished. See, let's look at that word baptism for a minute. "These signs shall follow them that believe." That baptism back there. They that believe and are baptized. What baptism is that? Now some people say, "Oh, that's water baptism." And some people say, "Oh, that's the Spirit baptism." And I'll tell you, no, it's both. And one more.
Amen.
Remember the scripture in 1 John 5:7 I quoted? "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one." Verse 8 says, "And there are three that bear witness on earth, the water, the Spirit, and the blood. These three agree in one."
Amen.
What's he talking about? A trinity of baptism. How many people remember Nicodemus come to Jesus by night, ruler of the synagogue? "Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth the works thou doest except God be with him." Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God." And so now we have Christians running around saying, "Unless you accept Jesus Christ and are born again, you can't go to heaven." Haven't we heard that? Huh? That's not what Jesus said. First of all, Nicodemus didn't ask a question, did he? Now think about it. Jesus always answered perfectly. Always answered perfectly. Nicodemus says, "We know thou art a teacher come from God." Now if he come along and Jesus says, "Oh well, in order to go to heaven you gotta be born again," Nicodemus would look like Jesus, like some kind of fool. What's he talking about? You know, have you ever met people that you walk up and say something, they come off the wall with something that has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with what you said? You ever met people like that? And when you look at them, you don't think they're too bright, do you? In fact, you think they're pretty stupid and they need something's loose. You look around for a plug to see what needs to be plugged back in. Jesus was answering Nicodemus perfectly. Nicodemus came claiming to have knowledge of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, "Wait a minute, Nicodemus. You don't understand the kingdom of God, and you can't understand the kingdom of God unless you're born again." See what I mean?
Amen.
The word "see" there meant to understand. He was simply saying, "Nicodemus, you can't understand." Nicodemus turned around and proved his point. What must I do? Re-enter my mother's womb? Then Jesus said an interesting thing. He said, "Verily, verily, except a man be born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And again, he wasn't talking about going to heaven. He wasn't talking about going to heaven. When Jesus was casting out devils, the Pharisees accused him of casting out devils by the spirit of Beelzebub. Anybody remember that? Oh, he cast out devils by the spirit of Beelzebub. What did Jesus say? Yep. But the one point that I want to get to is that one little part that most people never seem to catch. He said, "If I cast out devils by the finger of God, know ye this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you." See, the kingdom of God is right here. The kingdom of God is spirit. It's spirit. That's why Paul says our warfare is not in the carnal, it's not in the flesh. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty to pulling down strongholds, casting out devils. The kingdom of God is right here. It's all around us. But you can't see it. You can't see it because when Adam fell, his spirit was divided from his soul and took away his ability to see the spiritual things. See, everybody has a spirit, soul, body. I have a spirit, soul, body. You look at me, there are three of me. Richard the soul, Richard the spirit, Richard the body. Very simple. We three are one. You communicate with my soul. You look at my body, but it's my spirit that is life.
Amen.
You see, am I making sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, when God told Adam that in the day that thou eatest of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, thou shalt most surely die, he wasn't joking. Paul even said, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, even dividing asunder the soul from the spirit. When Adam ate of that tree of knowledge between good and evil, the word of God, like a sword, divided his spirit from his soul. And he became spiritually blind, spiritually deaf. See, the body carries the soul and spirit, amen? And we have five senses, isn't that right? Five senses. And those five senses, we can see, we can hear, we smell, taste, touch. What did I miss? Anything? Did I get them all? All right. Did you know that in the spirit has the same five senses? The spirit has exactly the same five senses. Just as the body's senses are to navigate the physical world, the spirit's senses are to navigate the spiritual world. But in the fallen state, God can't permit us to have that. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus joins our spirit together with our soul. And as we obey Him, and as we learn of Him and learn to be obedient, that opening up comes about. And when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's sealed. So there's the baptism of blood that Nicodemus talked about understanding the kingdom of God. That's the baptism that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, His blood covers you and forgives you your sin. Then there's the baptism of water, which puts you into the body of Christ and prepares you to service. Go back and look at the children of Israel. First thing they did is took the Passover lamb. That was the baptism of blood. Then they went through the Red Sea. That was the baptism of water. And only after the baptism of water they got in there and they became the servants of God did He then take them across the River Jordan, which was the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You got a lot of churches out here talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You got a lot of churches out here talking about tongues. You got a lot of churches talking about a lot of things, but that's all they're doing is talking. And it's time the church wake up and get its life right with Jesus Christ. This is a revival.
Amen.
It means to revive. Sometimes I want to change the name to a resurrection. That church don't need reviving, it needs resurrection. Some people might get the idea I don't like churches. I love churches. I love the people in the churches. I just hate Satan.
Amen.
And I hate the lies that he has gotten people to believe. Especially the ministers of God who have donated and given their life to serve God. And they don't realize they've been taught a lie. I said it last night. I'll say it again tonight. If a preacher stands in the pulpit and prays, "Oh, Father, we come before Thee in Thy precious name, and we lift up old Sister Martha over here, and we would that You would touch her and remember her and her affliction, and, oh, Lord, if it be Your will, lift her up. But nevertheless, Lord, not our will, but Yours be done." That preacher does not know God. I'm going to be embarrassed that there's a preacher in here tonight. That preacher doesn't know God. Because if that preacher knew God, he would or she would know that God wants to heal his body.
Amen.
Jesus said, "The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have that more abundantly."
Amen.
Jesus said, "When you pray, pray ye thus, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done," where? On earth as it is, where? In heaven. If it's God's will for me to be sick in heaven, I don't want to go there.
Amen.
If it's God's will for me to be demon-possessed in heaven, I don't want to go there. If it's His will for me to be crippled in heaven, I don't want to be there. What did God say? Jesus said, "Pray this way, pray and learn it." God, I want Your will right here on earth as it already is in heaven, because that is Your will.
Amen.
A lot of churches today, they play the band, they play the music, they get the people excited, they come up before the altar, they fall down, they blubber, they cry, they accept Jesus. It reminds me of Vietnam. You get out there and get all people excited, "Let's go join the army." I see, I volunteered, I upped. I didn't go for the draft. I volunteered. I was real stupid. I was so taken back by patriotism. "Let's go join the army and fight them gooks." But can you imagine what would happen if they took me, loaded me on a bus, took me out to the airport, put me on an airplane, flew me over Vietnam and threw me out the door? Still in my street clothes with no weapons, no training, no nothing. What would have happened to me? I'd be killed. Enough people got killed over there as it was. But at least they had some guns to shoot back with most of the time. Do you realize that the church today is taking and recruiting soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ and then throwing them out to the enemy with no training, no weapons, no protection, no nothing? Man. And then they sit back and say, oh, what happened to poor Joe? Gee, Joe was doing so well. What happened? Well, Joe died. That's what happened. Church has got to learn to become an army. Church has got to learn to be the body of Christ and the army of God. Church has got to learn to put on the warfare weapons. Church has got to go through a little discipline. Church has got to get the line of authority lined up. Church has got to learn to obey God.
Amen.
Then we go back and look in the Bible where it says, here we're talking relationship. Now I've been talking identity. Now I'm going to talk relationship for a minute. The Bible says, for Christ is the head of the church, right? Then he also says that wives are to obey their husbands as what? The church obeys Christ. Look around the world, folks. Are wives obeying their husbands? No. Why not? Because the church isn't obeying Christ. Boy, this guy's a male chauvinist, isn't he? I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. If the church isn't going to obey Christ, how can you? If the church isn't going to settle down and knuckle under and say, you are my God, you are my Savior, you are my Lord, I will obey you and do as you command, how can anybody else? It can't happen. So if you want to cross over the River Jordan, one of the things you got to think about, and I believe, you know, I kind of know, there's not a person, if there's a person in here who's a non-believer, tell me. I don't believe there is. I believe everybody in here believes in Jesus Christ. Am I wrong? Is anybody here does not believe in Jesus Christ? See, so I don't have to give an altar call and say, come up and accept Jesus. No. But there are some people here that haven't known Jesus. Haven't known Him. When was the last time you sat down and talked with Him? Oh, you can't do that. Yes, I can. And so can you.
Amen.
And I don't mean talk at Him. I mean talk to Him. You know, when I talk to you, you talk to me. We sit down and have fellowship. Jesus said He wants fellowship with us. He wants to have fellowship. Fellowship is not a one-way street. It's two-way. I've told these boys up here, there are three steps that you have to go through if you're going to be a Christian. The first step is child of God. That's where you've got to start. You've got to start with being a child of God. And what is a child of God? One who is born again in the Spirit of God and learns to trust Him. Two, you've got to become a servant of God. That's not a servant of self and not a servant of man, but a servant of God. And only when you get those two down can you come to the third. Isn't it funny how these threes. Then you can become the friend of God. See? And I'm going to say something bold. And you may think that it's pride and you may think it all kinds of stuff. But I'm going to say something very bold to you. I'm going to let you go because I don't want to keep you too long and bore you. I am a friend of God.
Amen.
I am His friend, and I've gone through the others, and I stay in them all the time. You see, at one time I was an idolater, and I didn't know it. I didn't know it, and God had to show it to me. I'm going to leave you with this little piece of information. That thing you fear is your God. If you fear what other people think of you, they're your gods. If you fear what the government says, then the government is your god. What you fear is your god. And when God showed that to me, it changed my life. It really changed my life. I used to, you know, I was told that in order to have a ministry, it had to be incorporated and do all this kind of stuff and everything. And I feared the government. But when I came through and crossed over the River Jordan, I didn't fear the government. Government can go hang itself as far as I'm concerned. I will obey it in any lawful thing the government gives me to do, I will obey. But I will not bend my knee and submit to it when it comes to the things of God.
Amen.
I will not sell the church to a government to become a government church.
Amen.
And that's what every 501c3 corporation is. It's a government-created entity. And the ministers are nothing more than the agents of the government. And they don't know it. They don't know it. And I didn't mean to get that far into that, but me and my big mouth. Play me something, son. Anybody sick here tonight? Play it real soft for a minute. I'm supposed to say this. We don't take up an offering here. This is paid for. Jesus said, go out and what I've freely given to you, you freely give to others. So where I'm not going to stand up here and spend an hour taking up an offering. I will tell you this. There are some brochures, or there's supposed to be some brochures here. Let's tell you what we're about. If you don't have one, I'd like you to take one. If you want to help us with the next revival, there are baskets right there. That's all I'm saying about it. What are we playing?
Will you learn words?
Okay. Feel led to share you how that song got written. It was back around 84 or 85. I was traveling over Earhart Mountain, over Earhart Hill up in Vermont. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, it was snowing, and it was bad, and I was praying that God would get me off that mountain alive. And all of a sudden, it was like a whiteout, but it was weird because the whiteout wasn't outside the car, it was inside. And I heard a voice say, as for my servant, as for my people Israel, I showed them my power, but unto my servant Moses, I showed him my ways. Richard, will you learn my ways? And I pray, you know, bubbler. He got me off the mountain. How, I don't know. But I'll tell you what I learned out of that. To learn the ways of God, there is nothing greater.
Amen.
There's nothing greater. See, how many times you heard people say, the Lord, what, works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. See, he doesn't tell anybody but his friends the mysteries, his ways. Become a friend of God, and you will understand how God does things and why he does things.
Amen.
He will share them with you. And he wants to share it with you. He doesn't want to hold anything back from you. Anything.
Amen.
And we're going to see people healed here. We've already seen. We had a healing outside last night after the service. Well, we're going to see healings here in this tent this week. I'm saying it by faith. That God's going to bring some people in here that are sick or crippled or whatever. And they are ready to believe and trust God and want to be healed. And God's going to touch them and heal them.
Amen.
And we're going to praise and worship Jesus for his work.
Amen.
God bless every one of you. Play me my traveling song.